June marks the end of the Supreme Court term each year. And the last opinion handed down this term, Burwell versus Hobby Lobby Stores, gives us lots to talk about over the summer hiatus. Here's a thumbnail sketch of this controversial case. But first, what the case isn't about. It's not just about Hobby Lobby. The case involves both the Green family, which owns and controls Hobby Lobby and Mardell Bookstores, and the Hahns, a Mennonite family that owns Conestoga Wood Specialties. Second, it's not a reproductive rights case. The case never explores whether certain types of birth control are abortive fashions from a medical or scientific standpoint, or changes the law regarding the right of privacy concerning birth control. However, many commentators view Hobby Lobby as a birth control case because of possible effects on individual women's access to birth control not covered by insurance. Third, it's not a First Amendment case. The case challenges the contraceptive mandate of the Affordable Care Act, which mandates employer coverage of 20 types of birth control, under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, not the Constitution. The three corporations seek the protections of the RFRA, which provides that the government cannot impose a substantial burden on a person's ability to practice religion unless that burden advances a compelling governmental interest in the least restrictive way, and argue that the mandate conflicts with their religious beliefs that forbid four of those contraceptive types, including IUDs and the morning after pill, as causing early stage abortions. Many had argued that the RFRA could not apply to for-profit corporations. However, the statute uses the term person, which is defined elsewhere in the federal statutes to include corporations. Though the court found that the interest of the federal government in ensuring access to health care and birth control was a compelling one, the court also found that mandating employers to provide access to all 20 types of birth control was not the least restrictive way to advance that interest. The court reasoned that the government could do this without burdening the employers by providing birth control itself, or by providing closely held corporations with the same accommodation that it provides not-for-profit charitable corporations. Those entities file a form saying that the contraception mandate burdens their religious beliefs, and then the contraception is provided directly by the insurance company without cost to the employer. Sounds simple, but the facts of this case seem easier than the ones in the next cases, and there will be next cases. Here, the companies were owned and controlled by devout families with objectively sincere beliefs. But there's no definition of closely held corporation, so the next case may involve a company that isn't traded on the New York Stock Exchange, but that is owned by hundreds of owners, including institutional investors. How do we test the sincerity of that company's beliefs? Second, what if the next case isn't about contraception, but other coverage? What if it's about same-sex marriage? Third, this accommodation that seems so simple is being fought out in the lower courts by charitable institutions who argue that the mere filing of the form is a burden to their religious beliefs because it facilitates contraception coverage. Justice Alito described his majority opinion as being very specific. Justice Ginsburg, in her dissent, criticized the opinion for being a decision of startling breadth. Well, perhaps we will see next October. This is Christine Hurt.